It's the Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and this week we're doing a little bit of a curveball album. We wanted to go full on fondue, a bit of cheese, because we've been really heavy of late, haven't we?
Yeah, we're getting a bit. We're going to be getting a bit heavier as well in the next coming weeks, if I have anything to say about it.
I've been thinking about heavy stuff too. To be fair,
we cover the whole spectrum anyway. We always have done. So
yeah. So we had to open the fondue, and this one is definitely on that fondue scale.
Yeah, I want to do a bit more traditional metal as well. I mean, with your Priest and Iron Maidens, but lower down on the scale. And I want to do a bit more. It's something we've neglected a little bit. A bit more. I want to start rummaging through the archive, really, of the new wave of British heavy metal, because there's some gems when you start digging deep in that genre. But
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
We, like you say, we went a bit heavy lately, so we thought we'd take it back the other. We'll let the pendulum swing the other side this week.
And it is.
And we're doing Manila Roads, Open the Gates.
First things first, the cover on it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. This is in 1985.
85, yeah.
This is when they actually bothered with covers more than they do now, when there's actual artwork rather than just Photoshop bollocks. And it's a great cover. They have got some great album covers, I've noticed as well. So very good cover, impressed.
I'm new to Manila Road, actually. I've got to give a shout out to the guys in Downfall Network, a YouTube channel and online community. And Brody was the one. I got speaking to Brody a few years ago through the Metal Combat podcast with Ralph and Ian.
Mm.
And I think he started doing videos off the back of that. I don't know if he's appeared on the podcast a couple of times or not. And I'm not sure if it was Brody, but I think I got into an argument with him over Death.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was him or not. But I'm not too sure. But either way, they've gone on to make it's him and a couple of other people, but the Downfall Network, I've really got into that. I've been watching loads of their videos on nights recently. They do a whole series of taking a band and doing the whole catalogue, so it's a retrospective.
Yeah.
And of course, you don't agree with everything, you never going to, but you know.
Subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, like their favourite album might be different to my favourite album or something like that, you know. But generally, it's really entertaining, really well put together, brilliantly edited. And their streams, mate, they're fucking worse than us. If you think we're bad, and then they do not.
We're not that bad, come on.
They do not give a fuck.
I suppose we hold back slightly because, there's being controversial for controversial's sake.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, but my honesty is slightly, forward and straight. But I don't think we're fucking over the top in any way. We say it how it is.
Yeah, but yeah, Downfall Network and Brody, well done, guys. And it was actually them that introduced me to Manila Road, watching the Manila Road retrospective. I've never heard them at that point.
Well, I got halfway through that, so I haven't finished it yet. I've had my nephew round, and I've been playing Slayer to him. Like the good uncle, you should play Slayer to your kids. I've watched half of it already, so I've got a little bit more clued up. I wanted to do a special intro for this show, but again, I'm on a, like, since I've come back to Liverpool, I've been on like a health kick. I've dropped loads of weight, and I'm just making myself go out, and even when it's pissing down or hailstoning a lot around here, and walking, so I haven't had the chance to do them. I do want to do them. I just need to get a regular schedule so I know when to fit it in, rather than randomly going for walks. So I will do it for the next show. But let's move on to the first song, Molestrum. I hope I've said that right. Cheesy intro, but I love it, and it's proggy at times as well. And this is the remaster I'm listening to on Spotify, giving them ... 10, nothing really. The remaster, I can't imagine what the original would have been like, to be fair. The remaster doesn't sound that good, and it doesn't do the justice that it should do, but the riffs are great. He's got a great voice when his voice kicks in, not the clean you hear later, the more gravelly one. I was just smiling off it. I was like, this is fucking top fondue. Very Judas Priest-esque, and that's not a bad thing. It's nice little opener, but I do suspect the original masters were recorded really poor. I think they'd done the recording themselves and bought it out on their own label, so that's going to tell you a lot about the problems they probably had. And even the remaster sound shit, I can't imagine what the original one was like. It's 1985, that's a given, but I don't know, it must have been really crappy tapes, or it must have been on a tight budget, I think.
Well, like I say, I got into the band through this video, so I'm new to them myself. I don't know when was this video put up, about 6-9 months ago, not long at all. But I got into the band through it, and I've been chipping away over the last couple of months, buying a couple of albums here, a couple of albums there on paydown. Pretty much got everything now, apart from a couple. But it's 18 albums overall, and it really is a varied bag. They go,
that's a lot of fucking music.
Yeah, and they've done double albums. There's acoustic stuff. There's, at the beginning, it was very traditional, sort of 70s-based metal. This was really, you've got the one before this one. I thought this was probably the best one to do, because I thought this was the best album to start with, if you know what I mean. I thought his vocals are a bit weird on the album before, Crystal Logic, and someone summed it up brilliantly on the YouTube video. When you listen to the album, you know, when people put up like whole albums on YouTube, someone kind of, it sounds like Skeletor singing. But his vocals are a bit more bearable on this album. So the next album, Deluge, I think is slightly better than this one, but I do think this is the best gateway. But yeah, later, so they go a bit thrashy as they go on, and there's even later albums where they go like arguably full-on death metal. He starts experimenting with growls. So, but I've always,
I think his voice leans towards that kind of singing, yeah, rather than clean, in my opinion.
Also later on, he hired his voice went, so he just hired a singer.
Wow.
That's so mental. Everyone talking about Dave Mustaine possibly having to step down vocally and hire a singer. Keep that in mind. It can be done. He just needs to pick the right person.
Yeah. Apparently he's all right. I wouldn't. Megadeth wouldn't be Megadeth without him singing.
Yeah, I know. But
he's unique. So how hard would it be to get a singer like sounds like Dave?
You can.
I think it'd be difficult. You know,
the guy that did Red Lamb. Was it Red Lamb? He did a side project with Dan. Oh bollocks! What's his name from?
Dan the Man.
Dan from Anthrax. Dan Spitz. He played on the 80s albums. He did an album with him, and the vocalist on that sounds just like Dave. In fact, I think Dave may have done the demos. And I think this guy just stepped in to do the actual album because...
Is this just internet bullshit, or is this turning into fact? Because he's done the album. They've done their album, haven't he?
Oh, no, there was talk of it. I think he was clearly having his treatment, but didn't want to give up, didn't want to, and I don't think he wanted to cancel any tours. I think there was talk of him hiring a singer to do the live shows.
And, I was going to say, he wouldn't have anyone else record.
It comes to it. But,
I think, to be honest, if it did turn out bad, and it hasn't, thankfully, I think that would be it. And I think Dave Mustaine letting go of that band, he'd have to be dead to let go of it.
Well, this is it. I mean, but that's the thing as well. No one, you know, Dave Mustaine's not revered as one of the best singers in the world. He's revered,
unique.
He's revered for being one of the best guitarists in the world. So
exactly,
if he would still be Red Lamb, yeah. If he was still touring, playing guitar, and physically couldn't sing, you know, then it can be done. That's all I'm saying. He needs to pick a right person.
Yeah, can be done, but I don't know.
In Melodeth, they did do it. So
kind of like Sepultura for me. They got another singer. I don't know whether I'd be totally into it, but who knows? So open the gate, or have you got any more on the last song?
The opening track. Well, it just, you got that little quiet introduction, then it just explodes, and it's like Mad Max. The trucks just barge through the barrier, and you're there. Complete madness. I think this is a great little song. I think if I could sum Manila up to someone that didn't know Manila Road, what do they sound like? I would have said, when Adrian Smith left Iron Maiden, back in the 90s or 80s, I think it was the arse end of the 80s, just after the Seventh Son album. Imagine if he joined Motorhead. And I think that would be...
I could see that.
Motorhead with a bit more melody.
A little bit more fondue.
Yeah. Everyone's in there. There's a bit of Judas Priest. There's a bit of folk, like, a little bit in places. Not so much on this album. But
it is a cacophony of different styles.
A little bit of prog.
Definitely.
A bit of stoner. There's there's a bit of Sabbath-ness in there. And that's just what I like about Manila Road. I just find there's a little bit of everything in there. And all of their albums, it's like a nice, thick book. It's a slow burner. You go through it. There's loads to explore, loads to delve into. And yeah, whenever I fancy something a little bit different and just something to open things up, and Manila Road, and I thought if you fancied something different as well, and that's when I thought, right, yeah, this is it.
Yeah, because we were basically doing Roadrunner Records back catalogue for a little bit there, so it was just like, yeah, let's do something else.
That wasn't by design either, it's just the way it worked out.
Happened. Yeah, we just started giving them pennies somehow. But yeah, let's go on to Open the Gates. I get Orgasmatron riff vibes here from this song. The drums stand out as well. Fight well in hell. Everything about this screams 80s cheese. The solos fit. But again, the quality of the remaster is questionable. It sounds like whatever they've got the original source from was poor in the first place. It sounds like when you've copied a tape on a shitty Poundland tape. Like back in the day, you get 4 tapes for £1 in a fucking pound shop or something. It sounds like it's been done from that. This is a really, really short song, so there isn't much to say about it. But I enjoyed this more than the first. And everything about it's a fucking 80s fondue masterpiece for me. I really enjoyed this track. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the track listing on this album is very well paced and very well set out. So you've got like a balls out opener and then like a mid-place second track. And then you've got like, when we move on, you've got a nice melodic track. And again, it's not a very long song, but it serves its purpose. It's got a nice little main riff, nice little... the vocal melody, the chorus is all catchy, and it basically just pushes you to the next level of the album, really.
Yeah, it's definitely a step up speed-wise as well from the first. It's an enjoyable little short track, and I reckon this would be one of the standout ones to see them live playing it, because it's in there to the point and fucking slaps you around the face kind of song, and yeah. I like that when at a gig, you want to get yourself motivated. This is the type of song to do it. Astronomica, it's very bawdy, very Brave Sir Robin kind of thing going on. Brave Sir Robin, if you don't know what that film is, go away. So nice opening riff, very Dio. Drums are great, and there's a nice little solo at the beginning. I wish the guitars were higher in the mix, but again, that's just something I'm going to have to deal with, to be fair. The clean singing doesn't do all that much for me at times. The lyrics before the main solo had me smiling. It's proper cheese. It's not going to win any awards for being poetic justice or whatever. It's not, but it is. It's like lots of rhyming words that rhyme with fight, bright, tight, might, stuff like that. It's just dead simple rhyme and stuff, but it's fucking great. It's not a bad song overall. One thing I would say, if a song evokes an emotional reaction, good or bad, then it's worked. The bit at the end with the drummer going mental, the drummer on this album, fucking hell, do you know what? Amazing drummer.
Yes,
it stands out constantly.
Yeah, that's one thing I was waiting for the right opportunity. Randy Fresher Fox, he's absolutely on fire on this album.
He's
brilliant.
Randy Thrasher Fox?
Yeah.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah.
Love it. I love him even more now, but Astronomica is fucking great. The end of the song is great. So far, 3 great songs. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, when I first started listening to the album, when the opening to this track kind of signaled to me, right, this is something a little different. There's a bit more to this band. They're not just straightforward. And, I love it's a beautiful little melody. It opens up with, you know, Astronomica. It's got a bit of a cosmos stonery thing. I'll tell you what, this as well. This is, I think this would be a great album for a youngster to listen to. Like, if you're a bit of a dreamer and you like a fantasy book or you like your comic books, I think Manila Road, as well as Iron Maiden for that matter.
Very thought-provoking music.
Yeah, very, you know, everything's a story. Everything, you know, he's obviously basing a lot of it on, you know, Excalibur and different wars. And, you know, I don't think it's too much of a jump of the imagination to think that Mark Shelton was a J.R. Tolkien fan. And it's like, this is the band that fucking Cliff Burton would have formed if he quit Metallica instead of dying, you know?
Yeah. He does seem the most proggy out of all of the members of Metallica of the time.
I think it's got a great chorus as well. And I'm looking at the thing now. I didn't realise it was only 5 minutes. I thought it was actually quite a bit of an epic, this song, but no. It just goes to show a lot goes on in a small amount of time. And
I wish the sound was better, because there's so many layers to this music that you don't hear. The bass gets muddied down, and at times when you do, you hear a nice little fill, and the guitars are low, and then the solos are low, and then the high. It needs that polish, I think it's just missing that, and that's so frustrating at times with this album. And this song, in particular, has got that.
Yeah, I don't think they had that big a budget. I don't think they were signed to that big a label. I mean,
it was their own label, apparently.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, look, you're older than me. Have you ever heard of Manila Road before? Nope. Even heard of them?
Not even a little bit.
And that's the thing. I'd heard the name. The name mentioned every so often, but I'd never heard anything until that video was put up. So thank God they did, because I've discovered this new band, this great catalogue. So that's the only thing I can really say. They must have been financially restraint, and I do get the impression that they were a live band. Like, watching them live was where you got the real experience of them.
They must have been big somewhere, though. Maybe, well, not big, but known somewhere, because it obviously didn't come across here. Maybe.
No, I don't think they ever went above the underworld. You know, I think they might have done. They might have been big on festivals and things like that. But I think they just played clubs. Maybe small theatres. But, and do you know what's going to be a shame as well? You just know, I mean, because Mark Shelton died last year, and you didn't get to the end of the video, did you? You said.
No. Right. I had lots of things going on and visiting nephews who bumped off school all week.
So basically, Manila Road looked like they were on the road constantly. They were a working band, you know?
Like Anvil.
Much like Anvil. And, they did a pretty lengthy set at a festival. Mark Shelton afterwards went, that was one of the best shows I think I've ever played. And then he had an heart attack and died.
Oh, man.
Right. Fucking hell. Even Lemmy couldn't beat that one. You know, that's a true musician's death, you know?
Well, it's like that wrestler, The Ultimate Warrior. He went and got inducted into the Hall of Fame, then went on to Raw on the Monday and gave this very impassioned speech about his legacy will live forever. And on his way home from that Raw, he died in the airport of a heart attack. So it's kind of like that. It's very apt, and it's a very interesting way to die.
Yeah.
I would say I wouldn't want to have a heart attack, bollocks to that, but if you're going to go, you might as well do it after doing something good, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, another one is John Lee Hooker, the blues guitarist, remember? For those of you, that good reference point is the Blues Brothers. Boom, 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 boom.
Gonna shoot you right down.
Same thing. He played a gig, went home and died. I think that's just a great... Well, you know, of course I wish he was still here. But what better way to go for a musician? You know, just suddenly, after playing the best gig, you know, that was it as well. One of his last things he did was, that was one of the best shows I've ever done.
You don't want to do a Tommy Cooper and die on stage, though. Because that's a bit much, like...
The best bit about that, they actually... Everyone in the audience laughed. They thought he was joking.
I know. I've seen the video. Like, because I was mad. Like, if you don't know, because we have a lot of Americans listening, Tommy Cooper was a famous comedian back in the day, and there's probably a video where he collapses and dies on stage. So if you're morbid and you want to watch it, it's like, I'll give you one of his jokes. Back to horse today, 20-1 came in quarters of all. Yeah, so that's one of his jokes. He used to do comedy failing at magic, and I just found him hilarious as a kid, like, to be fair.
The joke was he was a terrible magician. That was the joke, wasn't it? But yeah, he was actually a brilliant.
He was actually fantastic.
Brilliant one with the cups, with a bowl, and he misses up the trick, but then ends up with about 10 bowls on the.
Well, he was an exceptionally heavy pisshead as well, so that's probably what was his undoing in the end. So Weavers of the Web, the riff at the beginning reminds me of Death. It's a Death riff. I'm like,
as in the band?
That's cool. Yes, as in the band Death. Thrashy, I really like the intro. It's the most raw sounding one on the album so far, and the cheeky little riff is catchy as fuck. Good little solo. It's best song for me so far. I've enjoyed it, this album so far. It sounds fucking awful, the quality at times, but it's quaint. And I've had that before where I can overlook the foibles of the sound quality itself because of the music. And that riff, all I've put is, ooh, in my notes, because that riff is fucking great. Yeah, another top track where, like, a few tracks in and I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah. There's a real sort of, what I love about them as well is they've kept that 70s vibe, that jammy vibe, you know? And in the solo section of this, I get a real Deep Purple. You know the way Deep Purple just kind of let rip in certain sections and then sort of bring it back for the final chorus? And another great chorus as well. Yeah, I can't remember the lyrics now. Da, 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 lest we back to change our ways. Da, da, da. I like his voice. I mean, I know I get it kind of put me off a little bit at first, and trust me, if you listen to Crystal Logic, the album before this, that's why I chose this album, because I thought you're going to get through the first song, you're going to go, what the fuck?
At times it can be quite flat.
He did have a problem with his voice as well, and he was taking steroids for a lot of years, and it was affecting his vocal cords, apparently.
I imagine they do.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a fucking steadhead with a voice other than hello? So yeah, it does kind of fuck with you. And small balls and spotty backs.
Yeah.
But, so you had small testicles for years.
There's like a
random fact.
I mean, referencing the drummer as well again. He lead drums on some of these songs as well.
And, it seems to take control of the songs at times as well, I've noticed. But when you're that good, why the fuck shouldn't?
Yeah, but the band obviously had great chemistry. They obviously relied on playing live, and you can feel the tightness and the sort of, as you know, like when you're in a band and you know, you get to that level that can only be achieved through. You can only do it by doing so many hours, you know? But when you do lock in and you get to that point where you don't even have to look at each other, you just feel what the next person's doing, and it all just becomes second nature.
It's like ESP.
Yeah.
With musicians, isn't it? You work each other out. You know where they're going to go. You get that feel for them. And it's very rare when you... And you've been in bands. I've been in bands. I've been in quite a few, and it's very rare to get it. And when you do, you should try and stick with it if the singer's not a cunt, which happened. But if you find it, try and stick with it. That's what I would say, because you don't get that connection with very many musicians in your life, put it that way.
You can tell that this band had that. They were well beyond that. And, they only ever did one live album, but it is a fantastic live album. And it was around this period as well, they kind of had this little winning streak around this. This was like the first or second of that streak. But right at the end of the sort of golden period, they had a live album called Roadkill, which you can check out if you want to dig deeper. But yeah, so far, four songs in, we're on a nice little winning streak, nicely paced, nice and varied so far. We've gone up and down pace-wise. And now we move on to the ninth wave. A near 10-minute epic, very Sabbath-like. The song, you got to stick with it. It is quite long, but it builds and builds and builds. And again, I would say that this would have been the sort of climax of the live show. I can see them finishing with this and really going for it and improvising the solo or going off on like a little jam section. And you can tell they just left, they just kept the record button going on this one and just went off on one. And I think Gully's got something very different to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a moody intro. It's a long song, this. It's a bawdy song again. It reminds me of Maiden, and it's proggy and a bit cheesy. You can tell the drummer had something to do with mixing this album, though, because he's really loud in this one, and he's far too loud in the mix. I'm wanting this song to go somewhere. After 3 minutes, there's a little change, but I'm hoping for it to change up. I was positive at 5 minutes in that it was going to speed up, but it didn't, which... I wanted it to. Occasionally the bass will seep into the mix as well, and it's good, but this clarity is holding back this song in particular. It's far too long, it's far too self-indulgent for me, and it's the worst song on the album so far.
It just
seems like a jam for too long. It just seems like the jamming, and it's not working. It's not like a Sabbath kind of jam where you're like, that's fucking good. This is just them doing, everyone doing what they want to do.
If I was in the chair, I would probably scale it down a little bit. It could have a bit knocked off it, but at the same time, a bit of indulgence here and there doesn't hurt.
If you make your own album, who's going to tell you otherwise? Yeah. No one's going to tell you.
In fact, I would probably go, right, let's scale this down to maybe 5 minutes for the studio and then do this version live, because I think this song would work live. It is a bit of a heavy lift listening to it as an album track, but I bet watching it, it would be awesome.
Maybe finish off a show with it. Maybe, I don't know.
I could see it really being like the climax of a show.
It would be a perfect opportunity for me to go and get a pint of wine, because that's our role. But yeah, I don't know. It's just not for me. Heavy metal to the world. Motorhead drums at the beginning.
Yes,
come on,
absolutely.
Have it.
Yeah.
Like this song in an instant. Some good riffs. Much better than the last. You know, when you first hear a song, and I've gone for this album one listen, and I'll tend to go off the one listen. And normally I'll make my mind up pretty quick with anything in life, really. I'm fairly like cut and dry, black and white. There's no woman in Arden with me. And so that's why I like to do things in a first listen. I'm smiling like a Cheshire cat listening to this one. This would be a good live one. Heavy metal to the world. Yeah. It's Motorhead-y, it's good. It's solos do the job. Nothing stands out. I would say the solos are great and they fit the purpose, but we're not talking like Dimebag or anything like that. It just does a job. Whereas the only thing that stands out to me is the vocals at times and the drums, but this is a short and to the point song, and it ties with the gates, Open the Gates, for my favourite song on the album. Great little song. And I'm glad they brought me back off from kicking me in the bollocks in the last one.
Yeah, this is a great recovery from the ninth wave. I understand that song is a very...
It's hard work.
It's a heavy lift, yeah. It's quite slow. It's quite a lot of feedback-y. So to break at the end of that, to just go... and give you a nice little 3-minute balls-to-the-wall number. It's called Heavy Metal to the World. Isn't the opening track's Metal Storm, by the way? And so we've got Metal Storm and Heavy Metal to the World. They love their metal.
Well, let's thank Google for respelling my
No, it's, you're right, actually. Typing. It says it on my track list where I've done the CD, but looking on...
It's Mellostrom.
Yeah, but it's got a T. Metalstrom.
Oh, well, it's obviously respelled it for me. Thanks, Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, all good. And... moving on to the... I put this down as killer filler, actually. But it's a nice bit of handy killer filler that you needed to clean your palate after the ninth wave.
I really like it. It's
so do I. Killer Filler's not a, you know.
It's a copy and paste of Motorhead. Let's not beat about the bush. This is copy and paste Motorhead. I'm all right with it because it works. And it's much better than 9 minutes of fucking self anal fucking finger bum. But yeah,
is that a band?
No. Well, self anal finger bum. That's on
the
band.
Google
so
it.
The singer.
I'm sure there's a band called that somewhere. Let's
you
look
put
it up.
Self anal finger bum into Google. What do you think you're gonna get? You're just gonna. In fact, anyone who's listening, just go onto your Google. Type in self anal finger bum. If it's a band, let us know on Twitter at Rock Show Online.
And we'll get them on the interview.
The porn. Enjoy the mounds and mounds of porn and viruses that your phone now has, thanks to us. The Fires of Mars. The drums are on a mad one at the beginning, man. The drums are a very talented drummer. It's a drop in quality for me from the last track. I do like the climbing riff at 1 minute 30 where it goes. I love them kinds of riffs in this type of music where it's you can tell that they're using the fretboards as much as they can to move up and down. The vocals are hit and miss. It is filler. At 6 minutes and 18 seconds, it's long filler, like kind of like Ninth Wave. The solo isn't bad, but yeah, this is another one. It's not for me, so I'm moving on from it. Not much more to say.
I would respectfully disagree with you there. I think this song gives me what the Ninth Wave didn't quite. I think what they've tried on that track, they've actually pulled off on here, and mainly by reining it in. I love the way how this song climbs with that.
Yeah, that's the riff I like.
Great little chorus, and the solo during this track is up there with Jimi Hendrix. Bold statement, I know, but I think it's fantastic.
I'll disagree with that, but it's not bad. It's one of the better ones on the album. I'd say that. That's fair. But Jimi Hendrix, no.
No, I'll put it up there with Hendrix, man. Definitely.
Well, Joe's been smoking crack today. Any more on Fires of Mars?
That's all.
That's all. Road to Kings, a better opening riff. I prefer it when the band sticks to this tempo because for me it works for them when they're a little faster. Musically, it's great, but the muddy sound recording again, it's obvious to me that they done the recording themselves, and the remaster shows that up for what it is, unfortunately. I don't mind this one. It's much better than the last track. It's not the best by a long chalk, but it steps up the quality and the tempo, which is needed. It's a good little solo, and it's a better track, and it's something to bring us up a little bit more from Fires of Mars. So it's done the job, and a good little song for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. It just carries on from what we've had before. This song just, I'm neither here nor there with it, really. It just carries the album on. So, yeah, Road to Kings. Fine by me.
Yeah, it's not a bad track, and I just can't get over the fact I'm not hearing everything. I'm not hearing it as it should be, and that does this album more of a disservice. I'm not going to mark it down for it because it came out in 1985. They probably recorded it on a fucking four track or something on fucking non-chrome cassettes. So yeah, I'm not going to mark it down for that, but it at times it's frustrating, especially in the world we live in. We're spoiled for sound quality now. Even fucking shitty techno knobhead music has got half decent quality now because it's all digital. So yeah, we are kind of spoiled. I have to keep remembering that because from where it's from, but at times, yeah, they're not the biggest band in the world. We probably never heard of them until recently anyway, so it's not like it's going to get the expensive fucking rework treatment that other albums have, but at least it's there, and I can be thankful of that, I'm saying. Hour of the Dragon. The opening riff reminds me of Body Count, like Ice-T in the motherfucking house for some reason. I don't like his cleaner singing. It goes out of tune sometimes, probably on the studs. Not terrible singing, not by a fucking long shot, but it's like a pub band. You don't mind it if it's in the background, but you'll notice because he'll go out of tune occasionally trying to sing a fucking Belinda Carlisle song, but he's a man. You can't do it, you're a man. It's like that. I think, for me, I can see myself wanting to condense the track listing down to my favourite number, which is number 8. I need the sound to be better. It sounds muddy as fuck. It's not a terrible track, but I think the placement of this song could have been moved to maybe earlier in the album for it to be less apparent of its foibles, I would say. But it's not a bad track, and there is a lot worse. And yeah, Out of the Dragon for me, not bad at all, really.
Yeah, it's good little mid-paced number, good catchy chorus again. I think it's pretty well placed towards the end of the album, actually. It's a nice little one to put in before the sort of closer with the next one. I think it would work live as well. I think it's quite good to be put later in the album, but it'd be good to put early in the live set, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that works.
Yeah, no, cool song. Again, we're just kind of, it's just carrying it now. It's neither detracting nor adding. I think we're past the climax, but we haven't fallen yet.
I don't know. I'm getting hot and cold at times, and I am definitely going to be taking some songs to the chopping board to make it a little bit better.
Well, if you're feeling a bit cold, Gully, you're probably going to need some witch's brew to warm you up.
I wonder what is witch's brew?
Well, it just so happens to be. Yeah.
Oh God, I'm not drinking that shit. Life isn't that bad. I'm not that depressed. I've only had a breakup. I don't want to be drinking fucking special brew and lying in the gutter. That's not next for me. Sorry. But go on.
I'm sure both of us have drunk worse.
This reminds me now I'm back in Liverpool. There's this guy round the corner. He used to make his own fucking ale. And we'd get a bottle of it, like a litre, me and my friend Ted and a couple of others. And we'd get a litre between us before we went out, and it would fuck you. And some guy we used to hang around with, he's now on in crack. We went round to the guy's house. He'd make his own candles and make his own homebrew. And I saw him a few years ago. He was driving a moped with no front teeth. It was weird. He was just a weird guy. And me mate Steve at the time was like, oh, I can drink this. I'm going to smash this out. He starts knocking it back. Like it's going out of fashion. I was going to, mate, you need to be careful with this stuff. So it turns out he got so fucked, he was he pissed all over the floor upstairs in this guy's house, shit himself, and I had to carry him back around to my flat in Liverpool. Yeah, man, it was just wicked, wicked witch's brew.
That sounds like night out with you.
Fuck off. I'd never shit or piss myself out. Come on. I threw a kebab on the floor, but, like, honestly, he was a mess, man. He was a fucking mess.
Do you know, I'm listening to the track now in the background, and I'm just reading the lyrics as well. Inside the maze of fire, kindled with desire, boiling the cauldron true, filled with witch's brew.
That stuff is witch's brew, I'm telling you, man.
Father of the T-I-W, I don't know how you pronounce that. Long dead warriors, wise for you, we drink the brew. Fucking brilliant. And this reminds me, something Manila Road as well. You know Hobgoblin? The what's the brew that makes that? But all their beers have got the labels with the different characters. You've got Goliath, Hobgoblin, and Manila Road are the fucking soundtrack for the Witchfire Brewery.
Do you know what? I used to love drinking that stuff, but my God, you get a fucking twat of a hangover off that stuff. It's so heavy the next day. You get like one of them boxes full of different like guest ales and stuff like that, and you get a bit tanked up, and even the next day you are suffering like a motherfucker.
I do like Hobgoblin actually, and I like the Christmas one they put out as well. It's got Ebenezer. It's called Humbug Bar Humbug. And a picture of Ebenezer Scrooge on the cut on the label, and it's got like a spicy Christmassy.
It's like mulled wine beer. I've had it.
Mulled beer. Yeah.
Do you know what? That's the one thing I had stomach surgery a few years ago, and I'm unable to drink beer in any quantity whatsoever, and I really miss it because I feel like such a cunt as well when we're in a metal bar or I'm in a gig and I'm asking for a glass of wine and the whole fucking like the record stops and everyone's looking at me. I feel like I should just have a sign with I've had stomach surgery, can't drink anything but wine.
Hey, don't worry about it. You look sophisticated.
No, I don't.
Mate.
I feel like a cunt. I like the taste, and wine gets me hammered pretty quickly, but I do miss the fact you can drink beer in larger quantities than you can wine and not be falling over yourself. And I miss that, but I do like the Hobgoblins as well, but unfortunately that I tried that as well, thinking if I drink something that's not fizzy, I'll see if it makes me feel ill. And unfortunately, yeah, it did. It was a trooper as well, so it was just like, fuck. And I do like me trooper.
Trooper's
yeah,
a
it's a
beer,
nice beer. It's, yeah, I love the taste of it.
As much as, I mean, I know everyone's releasing their own beer and their own this and that nowadays, and a lot of it is just cheap shit with a fucking band logo on the label. But Trooper is the exception.
Well, you got Motorhead and rum. No. Fuck off, yeah. Motorhead.
Do a fucking whiskey or something. That's what fucking Lemmy used to drink.
Well, they did do a special edition Jack Daniels, but like, if you buy that bottle, it's going to cost you the world, isn't it, now? But like, he never used to drink rum.
If I was a proper, I mean, I am a Motorhead fan. I've got the albums, but I wouldn't go with.
No, have you had the Megadeth one? The Megadeth beer, a Tout Le Monde. Isn't he a clean head now? Isn't Megadeth straight?
Yeah, no. This is the thing. He's selling.
I'm wine as well. He's got a vineyard, and he's a teetotaler.
I don't know about all that, but I bought the Troopers because that was the exception. It was good beer, and generally speaking, as well, it's something to just display. You've got your records, you've got your thing, just a couple of beers on top of the shelf. It looks good, you know. So if you've got some different band logos on a beer, you generally buy two. You buy one to try it, just to say you've tried it, and you get another one to display. But yeah, you'd end up fucking getting about 100 beers now.
I've got a top merch trick. Me and Joe know of this trick of getting cheap t-shirts. Anyone who's in the UK, just pop into the shop from hell, as I know it, or Primark, and go look at the t-shirts. I have picked up some fucking a Slayer top, a Motorhead top, a Guns N' Roses fucking top, all for like something daft like £6. If you go and buy these tops on the fucking merch stores online, you're talking 15-20 quid. Go into that shithole fucking place, ignore all the clucky ladies who are going around shite, and buy yourself a fucking cheap metal top, because it's surprising what you can get in there. And I've re-got my metal tops from there for fucking pennies, basically.
That Slayer one's good as well. Plus, it's the Divine Intervention album cover. You can't get that album
That's
cover
where
anyway.
If you go back in the archives, you'll see that we reviewed that album, and we're not going to give it away. You go back and listen, you can't. So, Witch's Brew, any more to say? Any more for any more?
Oh, I don't think we even went into it.
No, just kind of went off on
one. No, I really like this one. Nice, like, again, very nice mid-pace. It kind of builds up as well. It's got a very 70s feel, like a Zeppelin-y, deep purple-y kind of thing going on. Even a bit of Cream.
Yeah, I agreed.
I'd argue. Just a nice album closer. And overall, I'm really glad I discovered this band. Like you say, you wanted to do something a bit different, and I thought this was a nice little album to sort of mull over, because there's a lot going on. You've got a nice, very 10 tracks here. And looking into Manila Road, they were a real good, you know, workhorse band. They toured like motherfuckers and played live all the time and were really talented. The 18 albums they knocked out, and then, you know, just to suddenly end like that. And ironically, I think history's going to be very kind to them, but they're going to get a lot bigger now they're no longer here. It always seems to fucking work like that. And same with Dio, to be honest. Everyone bangs on about Dio now. I remember Dio was playing the fucking LA too.
Wow.
You know, and that was a club, by the way.
Oh, I know.
It was
the same people who owned the Lomax here. There was the Lomax 1 and the Lomax 2. And the LA 2 would have been the little smaller one, wouldn't it? Witch's Brew.
And I was just going rant.
That's what the show's for.
And when King's Horse Engage fucking covered Holy Diver, they make out that they're big Dio fans now. Bullshit. They were doing that ironically. They were taking the piss when they did that cover.
He much overlooked.
And do you know the same as Blaze Bailey? I'm telling you, as when fucking Blaze Bailey dies, which I hope isn't very, very long time, only then are people going to fucking appreciate that guy.
I agreed. Wolfsbane, very, 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 very underrated band for me. Some cheese, but I love cheese. Come on, this album shows that I'm into me cheese. But yeah, Wolfsbane are another. They were the fucking bollocks live. They were so good live. An amazing live band. And it earned them the gig in Maiden, as you said when we reviewed some of it. Fucking very, very underrated. Do you know they're playing Stone? It was Stone Death, but it's Stone Dead. Wolfsbane are playing that next year. I'm tempted for a one day at just going to see them, even though I hate standing in fields, but I'm tempted to go to that. to be fair. And I've not seen Wolfsbane since I was a kid, so it'd be like fucking reliving my youth.
I saw Wolfsbane at the Garage in 2014, I think it was. It was a gig I was reviewing, but yeah, very good.
They was always tight.
They've reissued.
They were a live band that happened to fucking make albums. That was the difference with them. You seen the proper band when they were live, not on the albums. It was nothing similar. They were heavier live, so much heavier and a lot less cheesier, and a lot more fat bastards getting shouted at them.
That's the impression I've got of Manila Road. I think you, as strong as their catalogue was, I don't think their albums actually did them justice. I think you had to go watch.
And they were another band that when they were about, they toured their arse off constantly. They weren't playing bigger places. They were at first when they first broke out and they had the video and all that. I Like It Hot and all that. But they were another one that they were just a working band that went everywhere. And look at Blaze Bailey now. The ethos that he's got, the man's everywhere all the time. All over the fucking world, playing little gigs here and there and making his money. And fair play to him. And he deserves everything he's got because, you know what I mean? He had a rough part of life as well, I believe, later on with his partner dying and that. Fair play to him. I'm going to go to Witch's Brew. We love a sidebar and we're really good at them. Moody intro. They've got some good riffs. The opening riff on this sounds like Megadeth, man. It's cheese lyrics. It's good. I want it to kick in, though. It's same problem with the 9-minute song. I want it to kick in with a bang. Ow! It speeds up a little bit. I wanted it to be speedier, and I think the song could have progressed better if it went a bit nuts. They've done it on other songs, and it's not here. It's lacking here, which is a bit of a cunt, to be fair. They write some good riffs, and there's some really neat, funky bass lines, if you can hear them at times. But, like, I've always enjoyed albums that go out with a bang. This is, for me, is more Witch's Tit than Witch's Brew, though, to be fair. It's not the strongest song. Again, it would probably serve the album better if it was somewhere else there. But I didn't mind it. Let's look at the overall picture. I went first the last time, so Joe, sound off. What are you going to give this album out of the 10?
A good 8 out of 10, actually. I really like this album, and I really like this band. Again, the better stuff comes later, but I think this is a good gateway album. This gives you an idea what they're all about, and then to move forward. So, I'll tell you one thing as well. I bought the T-shirt.
The album covers are spectacular.
I was on hellsheadbangers.com and I was buying a few bits and bobs on there. And that's a great website.
I've never heard of that, man. Link me up.
Check out Hell's Headbangers. They're from America. In fact, Hell's Headbangers did that. They do a podcast called Hellcast.
I've listened to that at your when you suggested it. Actually, yeah.
Yeah, that, as much as they do a bunch of different albums, they do the odd bootleg as well. And I've got a Cannibal Corpse gig.
Oh yeah,
with George. But I've just got another one of from the Bleeding Tour. I've got all sorts of gems.
We should do some Cannibal Corpse.
They do T-shirts.
Some more Cannibal Corpse. We've only really done one album, and there's. I want to do a horrible one just to.
Well, Cannibal Corpse are pretty consistent, to be honest.
They've got good ones and bad ones.
Even them at their worst, there's still like 2-3 songs that you could go, right, but that's classic Corpse. So say you're like, there's 3 songs that's like, right, that is classic. If you're going to do a best of, you need those 2-3
It's like Metallica.
The rest of it might not be up to it, but you'll forgive it.
Every Metallica album, bar anything on Load and Reload, maybe one or two of them, you will always find 1, 2, 3, 4 tracks, if you're lucky, like the last album, where you're like, there's still Metallica in there somewhere, the rest of it is crud. And they're like that, aren't they, in a way?
I think the Cannibal Corpse, like, even at their worst, they're a 7 out of 10. It's still a solid album. I'm trying to think. I mean, we did the Bleeding, didn't we? That was the last album with Chris. Maybe we'll do Vile, because that's the first album with George. So at least we can analyse
and pair them off. And
yeah. the switch, yeah, like in sound and in fact as well, because I've got the box set, and in the box set you've got the demos, so it's the Vile songs with Chris on vocals. So I can send you them. And you can
that would be a good little comparison.
And they say in the thing, the music is exactly the same. The only thing that was changed was the vocals.
Well, he still had it. So he still had it then. Because if you remember, tracks. 6 feet Under, when he first started, his voice was still there. Now it's shot to fuck.
The problem wasn't his voice. They completely rewrote the lyrics and the vocal lines as well. What he was writing, it just wasn't matching up with what the music was. You can listen to
it. I think we should go and do that soon, to be fair. But let's give my little rating. I'll give it a 7. Make the album 8 tracks, get rid of Ninth Wave and The Fires of Mars, and for me then it's a better package, and maybe mix it up with Witch's Brew, and maybe stick the 3-minute one, the shorter song, which is more impactful at the end, just to slap you around the head. And then the sound quality is garbage, but the music shines through, so that's how it's got a 7 for me. This is like a Christmas cheese platter. There's something for everyone, whether you like your cranberry and your fucking salty, weird, peppery cracker shit, or if you're weird and you like mouldy cheese. Mouldy cheese is for knobs. I enjoyed it, and it's good to find something new to listen to, so I'm happy to review more weird stuff like this in the future. Great stuff, I enjoyed it.
I've got a great, if you want another Dungeons and Dragons album, I've got a great album for you, which I think you'll prefer.
I keep thinking of the cartoon with the little midget and the baldy guy in the sideburns. That's what I was on about the other day. Fear not, stranger.
We'll have a chat about what we're going to do next, because we've not actually got anything lined up.
I love
up,
it when we just do things seat of the pants, though. We always end up finding something half decent, to be fair. So, have you got stuff to plug? Plug away.
Get your Metal Legion magazine. If you're in the UK, message the site or message me, and I'll send you one out for $4.99. And don't worry about postage. I'll cover that. And if you're not in England, though, go on the website, because they've actually got some bundle deals where you can buy a magazine and a CD. So they've obviously got a couple of albums, and you've got a choice as well. So there's a couple of albums to choose from. Get yourself a nice little bundle deal. And again, guys, it's a fantastic magazine. Even the latest issue, I'm currently reading it myself. I've even discovered bands reading it myself. So the fact that I'm in there, I would be buying it anyway. And I'm honored to be part of it. And the interview in the latest edition with Jeff from Possessed is fantastic. And I wish I had the issue with me now, but I haven't. But the...
mine's by me,
bed. The girl that wrote it, congratulations to her, because it is a fantastic interview, and very, very well written. And I wish I had her name so I could call her out. But if she is listening to this, hit me up, add me, because we're magazine buddies, so
brethren of the same word. Magazine. I love that word.
So brethren. Check out
Metal Brethren,
check out Metal Legion, and check out next week's episode, whatever it is we're gonna do.
Who knows, because of my change of circumstances, we've become prolific again, and I've got after having a bit of miserable times in my life, I'm taking things I enjoy and smashing the arse end out of it, and this is something I enjoy. Also with that magazine as well, I didn't realise how much fucking albums is out and how much music is coming out. There is a fuckload of reviews of a fuckload of different genres in that magazine. It's overwhelming how much stuff is out there, and they must just... Can you imagine half the stuff they don't put in it? Based on what's in there, there is pages and pages and pages of little reviews of all kinds of genres. So read it. I'm enjoying it. It's by the bed. It's one of them when I'm sitting there or I'm going for a shit, I'll take it and have it read a little section to save myself bits of a magazine. It's the best way to do. I'm starting to sell the consoles again, and I've been posting them on Twitter. So if you're in the UK and you want to buy a light up blue Xbox console with lots of shit on, just buy it. Just give me money, I'm poor. At Rock Show Online on Twitter, The Rock Show Online on Facebook, and we've got another thing. Just look for us. this has been a great little review, short and sweet to the point. I've really enjoyed it. Anything more to add?
I'm done, man.
Well, fuck y'all. We're gone. See you later.